Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Welcome back to another week of the Scrum. I've got professional punter Aaron Macy and ex-footballer Darcy Lussick. Now, lads,
welcome
Owen. Thank you. Is there a dress code I missed out on? What's going on here?
Yeah, we're actually wearing black for all the people that follow your tips.
Yeah, fucking.
You struck a nerve there.
Not many of them, just quietly. Yeah. Bet of the week, Darce, your bet got up, actually. Not following the Roosters. Was a good omen. Yeah, okay. Sharks, Storm, Raiders all won. So, yeah,
I'm stay away from the Roosters. Good,
yeah, you're going not too bad. Mm. And I missed out purely because of a draw.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. But to be honest, I did the wires in that head-to-head, and I think Manly should have won. We can touch on that later. But
How'd you go? 2 out of 3?
Oh, close. Close to 2 out of 3. Well, I had 4, so it would have been more.
2 out of 4.
So worse.
I mean, 50's better than 0, I'll tell you that. Let's get into some key takeaways, because there was a lot to take away from this round, and obviously a bit of news that came out today as well. The disruptor rule. Obviously, if you don't know what that is, when you're going up for a contest after a kick's made, if you're literally not looking at the ball and looking at your opposition player, they rule it a disruptor. It's a penalty for not going to the ball and trying to take the person out in the air. But there was just a lot of black and white.
Yeah.
Darce, you obviously watched a lot of football this weekend. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a it's a tough one because, you know, you can go up for the ball and then after you jump, you know, you're not going to get it. So you sort of look away to sort of brace yourself.
How many high balls did you take in your career?
Nothing. I was flat out catching a pass. Yeah, it's a tough one, and I think there's going to be a lot of controversy around it this year.
So they're refereeing, like, gauging eye contact. Yeah. It's like a first date. Like, seriously, out there, where's your eyes? Your eyes here?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Like, I'm pretty sure I did see Darcy catch a few of his eyes closed. So how do they, like, rule on that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a question for me. That's a question for Graham and his Legion, unfortunately.
All the best, Graham.
I want to touch on this as well. Like, so it's going to be a weird thing. I swear every week there's like a new little fucking part of the game that it's on NRL 360 and, this happened. We're going to referee and we're going to nitpick on this. Mm. One thing, because it is to do with kicking and catching.
Yeah.
That last play of the game, Manly Warriors. Gus made a great point of if they really wanted to challenge it, he didn't play the ball properly for Noah Blake. He actually didn't touch with his foot. So really, that should have been done there.
So
forgetting that, so when it came, and obviously your brother with the broken leg, the kicking, if you're attacking for the ball, so I know when you go to block a ball, so you dive, you're blocking the ball's here, you need to get into a position which is close to that, the kicking leg. As far as I was aware, that rule was designed for not attacking the leg that's on the floor. Because if you hit the leg that's on the floor, it's stiff. That's usually how to break a leg.
Yep.
What happened to your poor brother and, well, more so Ilias? That, for me, that was almost like a freak accident. Like that's, and I don't, in my opinion, I don't even think he's really done anything wrong. People might argue it. How, is that wrong? Like, what do you think?
I think that, look, at the end of the day, you just can't touch the kicker, can you? But
so what do you do? Sit back and watch?
Yeah, but the thing is, you see both. Like you put a freeze of Freddie's frame when he hit Ilias, and then you put one on the weekend. I think it was Aloye.
Yeah,
and it's leg, like their leg. The kicker's leg is because he's going to kick the ball. He's hitting the opposition player. You know, they're not. There's no malice in it or anything like that.
Well, you know, it's actually a little bit more ridiculous. There's players that are only copping a fine and playing this weekend for dangerous contact. He's missing a week, Aloye, for the charge down.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, it shouldn't have even been a penalty. Full stop.
And then what are they? Are they judging bans off injuries as well?
Well, exactly. Like, that's like it's.
Freddie got 4 weeks, but you know, I think he should have got something for it, but four weeks.
I think 4 weeks is real stiff. Like, it was absolutely.
Well, they're trying to give him 8.
Well, do you think that if Lockie Elias's legs sweet, do you reckon that your brother gets suspended at all?
I think maybe
1 week,
maybe a week. Yeah,
I can understand. Yeah. Like, hey, someone gets injured, it's like, I guess if you run someone over, like, obviously you're going to get time.
Look, Freddie made contact with the kicker. It's not like you can't do it, and you know.
How do you block a ball?
It's a tough one, but
it's a bit scary that they're being this nitpicky in New South Wales Cup.
Well,
as well,
yeah. But you know what's going to happen now when players are going for field goals in crucial moments? What's the blocking going to be like now? You'd be too scared to go and block.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
right,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this is reffed going into the next few weeks as well. We had the obstructions, obviously, a few weeks ago that we were complaining about. Lomax, he signed with the Eels for 4 years. Dust, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a great signing. I think he's been on fire for the Dragons so far. And the Eels are sort of, they're lacking like a maybe one or two class players, sort of, on the wing or X the centre. Factor. Yeah, X Factor. That sort of X Factor player. And I think he'll come in and be great. Like, for someone who doesn't want to play for the Dragons, he's been their best player. So yeah, I can't wait to see him go to a team that he actually wants to play for.
Yeah.
And, where do you think he plays? Centre or wing?
I think you'll have to put him in the centres. But
who does he take over? So Will Penasini's been awesome in his position. And they're both right side players, am I correct?
There is that. Well, that's true. Well, that's the argument to put him on the wing. Yeah. Do you stack up that right-hand side and have them both there?
Well, then that's huge.
Yeah. Well, he's come out and said how much he doesn't want to play on the wing. So, but, you know, I think
you get paid, you do a job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're getting paid $800,000, you play anywhere.
The thing is now, when you look about it, like, I think it's flipped where wingers are almost – not more important, but like, fuck me dead. Like, some of the wingers in the game now, they're demanding good money, and so they should, because their finishers are fucking unbelievable. The way they're diving, how important, when you've got a lot of the time with these wingers, they're like second front rowers that can do a backflip. Like, essentially, that's what they are, because the teams that have really good low number sets take so much work off their forward pack.
Yeah.
You look at how much your Paul South, they've got had small wingers, relatively small, like when you're missing your main centers, and then Latrell didn't want to do anything in his 50, it creates a lot of work for the forward. Yeah. So it's so valuable to having someone that A, can do the hard work, but B, have the X factor to finish.
Is there a world where Lomax moves into fullback when Gutho gets towards the back end of his career?
You'd think so, but Gutho doesn't look like he's slowing down anymore. No. Like, the last couple of weeks, his efforts has been unbelievable. Like,
he's a funny one.
Drags that team on his back sometimes. So, but I don't know. But just on the subject of the wingers, like, they're so important, but they can really make, like, I know they get a lot of stick, but they can really make or break your team. You know, if they get big, powerful winger starting their sets on the front foot, and one that doesn't drop the ball every time they get kicked.
It's huge. Honestly, like, for when they used to give wingers flack, I think the game has changed so much, because essentially you've got a faster forward standing out on the wing who's taking hit ups. Half the time they're taking almost as many hit ups as half the forwards.
I agree. Well, look, let's see where next Lomax ends up. It's a bloody unreal signing. It is such a good signing for them, and I'm excited to see where he plays. Speaking of players leaving their clubs, Manu. He's left he's going to leave the Roosters at the end of the year to take up an option with Japanese rugby.
I have a question here. So in the past, players have tried to go sign rugby union, play half a season. Is that right? What happens over there?
So you've heard this as well.
Yeah. Is that what's going
to
happen?
So this, my information, and it was broken to me, funnily, at the Roosters Manly trial when we went over and watched that game. I was told that Manu was leaving. And there was talk that it was potentially Japanese or French, and a lot of people saying French rugby. I was told he's definitely going to Japanese rugby on a very big pay packet. And he's gone for 2025, which is next year. But he will return. It's around like round 10 or something, I think, is around that period. I've been told, and I hope it's right, that he goes for a year. He misses probably the first 8 to 10 games, and then he comes back and he will likely be the number one and captain of the Roosters.
Did the NRL try and put a stop to that in the past?
Don't know.
I feel like maybe the Roosters, if anyone's going to get around it, it's the Roosters.
Well, yeah, I hope so. Good luck to him. Go, Nick. Do your powers. Do what you do best. Honestly, like, I, at the start of this season, I just thought, like, I've been saying for probably a year and a half, why isn't Manu our number one? He showed on the weekend once again why he's such a freak number one.
Unbelievable.
I had egg on my face probably for the first 5 rounds of how good Teddy was playing. Yeah. Teddy went back to Teddy 3 years ago. He started ball playing again. Look, it's a tricky one, but I just think Manu's now, he's about to turn 28 or he's around 28. He's got like the next 4 years that are probably going to be the peak of his career, which is where Teddy's starting to taper down to. even though he's playing enormous. I'm it's a scary one. I just hope he comes back. I hope he's our number one in 2026.
Well, running 370 meters a game will sure help you. I mean, that was incredible.
In saying that, like, and there's been so much talk about that. Yeah, that's incredible. I think as well, though, if he was the full-time fullback, you would see a far more ball-playing Manu. Because, yeah, there every week you would see him get used to playing with those centers and wingers. And I think you'd see another element to his game, which I don't think he gets to show enough when he's the fill-in fullback.
A point that I sort of, you know, realized when watching that game, and I'll want to see if you can agree as well, there were some points, yes, Manu's ball-playing is unreal, and that pass that he threw to Tupou was outstanding. But there was also a few moments in that game, obviously the pass to Jennings on the inside to score that try, and there was an opportunity to offload for Tupou on the when going down that left as well. I feel like, yes, Manu's great with his ball playing, but he can also sometimes want it for himself a lot more as well and take the run. And
well, I just think he's used to, he is that solid part, but I think if he was, as I said, he doesn't play full week in week, and he was playing in the team, but the team was shuffled around. I think if he played in a squad of 13 where he was the one, and they've got a lot more set plays, you would see a lot more ball playing out of him. Because I think he's more of a natural ball player than Teddy ever was.
Do you agree, Taz? Yep. Yeah. All right. Trell Mitt, obviously set to pick the Rabbitohs over New South Wales. He's come out along with Damien Cook and obviously Cody Walker as well. They've all come out and said that they're going to pick the Rabbitohs over New South Wales if the opportunity comes. I personally don't think Latrell, Cody or Cook probably get selected. What about you?
That was like making a decision. It's like me making a decision for dinner. I don't get to make that decision.
It's a I don't. And Maguire's come out this year and said he's big on picking people on form, isn't he? So
well, they're quite definitely not in form.
Yeah, I just
one played reserve grade last week.
Yeah,
mm.
But on Latrell Mitchell, I think there's talk of, when he comes back to South, Gray going to one and Latrell, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. So, I seen someone saying it on a program the other night that, you know, if they can get a solid 10 runs out of him a game, 10 powerful runs in the centers, that's all they need from him. Like he's not going to take 20 runs at fullback. Like it's just not in his game. So
that side looked happier and fought more.
Yeah.
Was it weird to almost see Jai Gray coming into this side, having the 15 carries, running for 170 metres, Cody was running the ball more as well. Yeah. Cody had 15 runs.
There's something going on in that team. Mm. And like no one doubts how talented Latrell is, but they're not happy. And that was a team. And there was a question. And I said that, I remember I almost wanted to tip South at the start. So I was like, I'm interested to see if they can fire a little bit. I didn't think they could probably get the job done, but mate, that was a far better South performance. Yeah. Yes, they still got beat. They just look like a happier side. Yeah.
Do you think any other sort of bottom eight teams, do you think they win that game, the Rabbitohs?
Against a bottom eight side?
If they were playing a bottom eight side, do you reckon they win that game?
Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah, much improved team. Much improved
team.
Well,
I don't know, we said before, we're going to see if they wanted to play for their coach or not on the weekend. I think they did, so.
Well, they certainly played for something. They looked, at the end of the day, they just looked like a happier side. And I thought the kid went enormous for someone his size as well.
Yeah, 5'5" he is as well. Outstanding what he did. Let's go into our preview of the upcoming round. We'll start off with the Roosters and the Melbourne Storm. The line is 1.5. Wins at the venue, Roosters at home, 64%. Storm away from home, 42%. What are our thoughts going into this one, Mace? I'll start with you.
Zero confidence. One thing with East, and I think even like I said with Cronulla, I think their worst and their best are light years apart still. And the funny thing is, I think you'll know within the first 5 minutes whether their energy levels are there or what it is. Like you saw it against Penrith, they come home late. I was super confident on them last week against the Knights. I thought they'd be up for it. I really want to see them put two performances together. Mm. Teddy's back at one, Manu goes there. I'm surprised Sam Walker's not picked. Mm. I'm leaning with East because I think, once again, it's a really important game for them to win. Yep. But no confidence.
Does?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Roosters. I actually turned the Storm game off at halftime the other week. I thought they were going to blow
the Bulldogs
away. But they come home. So I think the Roosters at home, I think they'll be up for this one. So I'm going to go with them. But not much confidence. They have let me down.
Well, Melbourne have won 8 of their last 9 games against the Roosters. I think the Roosters won the last one or one of the last two. But I think that Melbourne, they're obviously getting Nelson back this week. They're also getting Joe Chan back into the team, which I think is huge. Yeah. I think that Melbourne, just through the middle, could potentially get a bit of momentum. And then obviously Cam Munster improved drastically last week too. So I'll probably go Melbourne.
Good.
Good for you too. I'm going to go on anywhere near the Roosters. Dragons and Warriors. Line is 5.5. Wins at the venue. Dragons at home, 61%. Warriors at Dragons home, 15%. The Warriors have won 7 of their last 10 games against the Dragons. Das?
Yeah. Both teams played well last week. I'm going to go the Warriors. I'm on them every week. I think when they put it together, they can seriously blow teams away. If their forwards start well, they've got the class. Sean Johnson's in good form. Dragons are having a crack. I think they're having a real good crack lately. But I think the Warriors class will get them home.
Do you think Lomax going back into the centres changes anything in terms of how he plays?
Well, he's got his big contract now, so maybe he might put the feet up. But yeah, I think he's been killing it on the wing. So I'm not sure why they'll change it, but you know.
Well, Jack Bird's obviously out with a concussion this week, and there was a lot of controversy around that too. Yeah. I think the club come out and said that they were really unhappy that he was deemed a category one, which means you're off straight away.
Yeah, that's another tricky subject, isn't it? The concussion, and it gets taken out of the club's hands, which is at times I reckon it's probably a good thing because, but yeah, put me down for the Warriors.
Mace?
I'm sticking with the Waz. No, I know Dragons have like a lot of stats in their favour with this, but I just think the Waz are coming from a far better form line. That was such a better quality game. Yeah, they've got to do it in travel, but yeah, I just think they win. I think they're chalk and cheese.
I almost think the Warriors are 2 times better than what they were last year, and they were in the top 4 last year. So if they can keep this form going, they're going to be incredible. Are you guys on the same length there?
Yes and no. I don't think they've 100% put it together yet, but I think they've got – when they do put it together, they're going to be there. And they've shown glimpses of it. They haven't shown a lot of 80 minutes of it yet, but I think they will be.
Do you agree, Dust?
Yeah, I love the Waz this year.
We know you love the Waz. speaking of the Warriors, I'm going to go them. Dragons is just too hard to tell at the moment. They can have a good week, but their floor is also very low. So I'm going to go the Warriors. Eels and Dolphins. Line is 7.5. Wins at the venue, 67% for the Eels at home. Obviously, the Dolphins haven't played at Eels home yet, so they haven't got a record there. But the Dolphins' record at grounds not in Queensland is 1 win and 7 losses. So they're not good at the moment out of Queensland. What are we thinking, Das?
I'm going to go the Eels. Just because I thought that they really got it was a good win last week. This might got a little bit of confidence back. They're playing in Darwin. I actually played there in 2015. Para versus Penrith. I got labelled the worst game of rugby league in history.
Is that because you played?
Yeah. So that's how bad this game was. I think we were like last and second last. Wow. So hopefully this game's a little bit better than that.
Well, they've actually got the record up since you were playing as well. 6 wins, 3 losses. So it's not too bad over there.
Yeah, it was just 3 losses when I was there.
It's good to see they come good. I'm with Das. I'm going with the Eels. I made the statement last week that it was the beginning of the end for the Dolphins at the top of the ladder. And then they're obviously missing Hammers, a massive loss for them. I think they went – they're definitely doing some good things. But I like the Eels here. I think they're heaps better side. I think when the Dolphins play the better sides, you'll see them when it comes to that last 20 minutes of the game, you'll see them fall apart.
I'm very excited to see Trey Fuller come in back into the side this week at fullback. Obviously, killed it in his debut. They played him at centre. He is so different to Hammer, just the way that he plays the game. He runs so tough. He's a very physical fullback. I think that the Dolphins will still play quite well. I think it is probably going to be around the 1-12 margin, at least in the first half. I am going to go the Eels, though. I'm going to take the Eels.
I just thought he was going to get – I was really going to get confident and back the Eels.
Oh, well. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. all right.
Panthers and Tigers. The line is 13.5 in this game. Very surprising. Wins at the venue, 56% to the Panthers at home. Tigers at Panthers home is actually 100% at this ground. Tigers have won all of their games at Carrington Park in Bathurst. Das, what are we thinking?
I'm going to go the Panthers just because it's the Panthers. Tigers got Lachie Galvin back.
Mm.
Massive Lachie Galvin fan. I think he's outstanding. I think they've really missed him over the last couple of weeks. But Panthers, Cleary back this week?
No. Cleary's not back this week. Brad Schneider's in.
Okay.
Good seed did you form on the game?
Yeah, sorry. I just... Panthers.
Tricky game. This is... It's one of those ones where I wouldn't be surprised to see the Panthers win by 30.
Mm.
But I am, once again, a huge Lachie Galvin fan. I tipped against them last week purely for the fact of Lachie Galvin not being there. I think they're a different side with him. I love that they've got the good stat there. This is a Tigers team. The thing that I like about them as well, they move the ball around and they play that expansive side-to-side footy, which is this is how you have to beat Penrith. It's a style of footy that can shake them. I'm going Tigers with the start with minimal confidence.
Interesting. Ooh. I'm going to go with the Panthers here. More I confident. Think they do, yeah, well, there you go. Now you're all confident. I think that they do get the start. I think that Lachie Galvin, yes, is going to be a big in. Do you actually think that he could be the guy to turn things around in terms of the structure that he adds going up against the Galvin? Going up against the Brad Schneider for the Panthers?
Definitely. I think, I think he's a massive in. He's pretty much the main reason why I'm tipping him.
Yep.
Yeah, well, there you go.
At the start.
I probably will go the Panthers still just because it is that 13.5 line. But, yeah, no, Tigers wouldn't put it past you too much at all if you're going to go with them. Titans and Seagulls, line 8.5. Obviously, wins the venue for the Titans is 44%. Seagulls, 64% at Titans home. We have seen, though, with the Titans, a massive turnaround last week against Canberra. Is it enough? Das?
This game worries me. The Seagulls playing well, obviously, but every couple of weeks they seem to have one bad game in them. Titans, they come back last week. I think they're sort of finding their rhythm. They still just can't put a full game together. But I think I'm going to have to go the Seagulls minus the 9.5. But I'm not real confident. I'm just worried that this could be one of their
Mace,
games.
Do you think Titans 5:30 home dry track? Is there any, I guess, does that sort of put you in the Titans park a little bit more?
I said I was scared of them a little bit last week, and I said they're so close to getting a game right. Yeah. They just lack what it takes to finish it off. And like you did say, the Eagles, once again, their best and their worst is still a bit of a big gap. I just think when you look at form lines, these guys played the Raiders. Yes, it was down with the magic clap, but... They're just different form lines. I think the Wasps can win the comp, and I think the Eagles are Smokies.
Yeah.
Titans will probably fight your mob South for last. I'm going with the Eagles. Once again, scared of all the things that you said, but I'm going with the Eagles.
I think it could be a real bogey game. I'm going to go with the Titans in this one. I think they could have a little bit of a chance here. I like a Smokey, and as I said, reasons mentioned, dry track. Saturday afternoon. They've won their past two games against the Manly Seagulls as well. I think it could be a real bogey day.
It could be a real high scoring game because I think both teams can let in tries.
Is it a game you're going over the 40.5?
Yes.
Potentially. Definitely. Sure. Definitely.
All right. Broncos, Raiders. The line is 7.5. Wins at the venue at home for the Broncos is 59%. Raiders, 29%. Is the performance for the Raiders last week enough for you to say that they're a chance against this side, the Broncos, without Adam Reynolds?
I like the Raiders this year. I really do. I think they're fighting for everything. But Broncos at home, they're hard to go past. Saturday night, so put me down for the Broncos.
Yeah, Mace?
I'm sick with the Broncos. I'm a bit the opposite to you. I think they've overperformed what they've done. Yes, they're playing with that tough, gritty, sticky footy. I think they're going to hit some teams late in the year and get absolutely fucking flogged. And I just cannot wait for those sticky press conferences because they're probably going to be even better than the game themselves.
Hey,
speaking of press conferences.
Yeah, who do you reckon would win out of a fight of him and Dez?
Oh, sticky. He's a real tough cunt.
Are they on your no-limit card against Curtis Scott or what?
Well, I'd like to see it.
Who would you bag? Sticky?
Well, I've seen Dez wrestle, but Sticky, I just feel like Sticky would do anything to win.
Is this Dez got like mongo strength? Yes. He kind of looks like, that could be scary.
Didn't he kick a hole through a door once?
Yeah, he ripped a door off the hinge. But yeah, I seen that blow up in the tunnel on the weekend. Love that.
Love a good blow up. Yeah. All right, Bulldogs game, here we go.
Yeah, so I'm going to go the Broncos. Thanks for, you know, waiting for my tip too. Thank you. I really appreciate it. No, just not thinking about me, that just quietly.
Just trying to save you.
Yeah. Thanks. Bulldogs and Knights. Line 1.5. Bulldogs at home, 53%. Knights at Bulldogs home is 50%. Newcastle have won 5 of their last 6 games versus the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have won both of their home games this season. And a Bulldog side that looks a lot better over the past few weeks. Das.
They're getting a little better. Like they're closer putting it together, the Bulldogs. Put me down for the Bulldogs. I'm struggling to get excited about the Knights this year.
Mace?
I'm going with the Bulldogs with the plus at home. If Ponga stays sound throughout a game, he's a freak. He can win the game. But there's something still not there. I think they're definitely missing Dom Young finishing. And they're just not 100% right yet, the Knights. Bulldogs did a lot of good things against a decent side last week. I'll stick with the Dogs.
I almost think, and let me know if you agree, but I almost feel like Manu's performance sort of overshadowed how dangerous Kalen Ponga was in that Roosters game as well. Every time he went down that right-hand side, he was absolutely freakish.
Ponga's a freak. There's just and like I think people forget that he plays at the Knights surrounded by a lot of average players.
Yeah. Imagine him at a Broncos or
Just one of the top sides, Storm, Manly. Roosters, like any of those good sides. Yeah, he'd look unbelievable.
Scary to think. Yeah, I'm going to go the Bulldogs as well. I've liked what I've seen from them over the past few weeks. I think that they're a much improved side. And then the last game of the round, the Sharkies and the Cowboys. Line is 3.5. Wins at home for the Sharkies is 58%. Wins at Sharkies home for the Cowboys is 30%. Mace, I'll start with you this time. What are we thinking?
I was a little bit worried about them, like I said, their bottom and their top going in that South game. South's a lot to play for, that sort of jazz. Their class showed late. That's what got them home. Yeah. They're a gritty side. I think they're a good side when they are at home. And the Cowboys are a touch footy side. So, like, they are dead set a touch footy side. They've got a bit of class. They've got the X factor. I think if the Sharks can really get him into a tussle, I think they should be able to finish off late.
Das, what are you thinking?
What are you doing? Sharks, Cowboys. Sharks at home. They just do what they need to do. The Sharks, like, they don't do. They're not pretty. They're not flashy. But they got some classy players. So put me down for the Sharks.
Yeah, I think Sharks as well. I've really liked how they've looked, and Nico Hines steering the ship there, looking very good. And interestingly, you know, Trindle doing more of the kicking as well. It's almost like Trindle's the halfback.
He's playing good.
Hines
this year.
Is the six.
Yeah,
I think the Sharks do win this one. Cowboys, I think we'll keep it close, but yeah, the Sharkies are looking too good for me. Let's get into our scrum multis. Mace, I'll start with you. What are we thinking this weekend?
And it's a little bit scary to start off, but I am going the Waz head-to-head. I think class will get them home at the $1.44. I'm going with the Sea Eagles to get the job done at the $1.33, and I'm going with the Broncos. I just think, once again, class. The three class sides will get at home at the $1.41. That comes to a whopping $2.70. I think this week we should collect.
Love it. What are we thinking, Das?
You haven't given me the price.
Don't worry about the price. It'll come up on the graphic.
Okay. This week for my multi, I've got the Roosters head-to-head. I've got the Eels head-to-head. And I've got the Broncos -8.5.
Love it. For me, this week for my scrum multi, I've gone with the Broncos head-to-head, the Eels head-to-head, and Manly head-to-head. I'm taking a little bit of inspiration here for you, Das. Obviously, you won last week with just simple head-to-heads. I think four legs is too much for me. I think lines is too much for me. I also think try scorers is too much for me as well, just quietly. So, keeping it very simple, and hopefully we get up. Speaking of try scorers being too much, let's go through my try scorer bingo. We've got the Dallin Watene's Lesniak to score this weekend, Xavier Coates to score, Angus Crichton as a smoky on that left-hand side of a Luke Keary short ball. I love that for a try scorer. Xavier Savage and Ronaldo Mulitalo, mostly wingers, $8 for your try scorer bingo this weekend. And you can access all of those bets on Crossbet under the BTFU hub. Make sure, if you haven't yet, download the Crossbet app and obviously copy our bets through the BTFU hub. It is so easy and it can be done in one click, lads. Thanks for hopping on again for another week.
Thanks, Al.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on screen or visit the website.